If you're a cyclist in this province, you know sometimes you're going to have to ride against that wind and just go for it. And 17-year-old Marcus Capilli is a cyclist who goes for it all the time. In fact, he is representing Saskatchewan at the Games, the Summer Games, on in Newfoundland. This Saturday it starts, and he's the pride and joy of Moose Jaw, but representing our province in three different competitions as a cyclist. And you're about to discover how he trains, why he does it, and what he expects this coming weekend at the Games, too. Welcome to the show, Marcus.
Thank you.
Nice to have you here ahead of the big Games. How did your love of cycling ever begin? Like, how old were you?
So I started speed skating is actually what got me into it. And I started that when I was about 10. And then I got on a bike to start training for it, maybe when I was around 12. And I didn't start racing until I was about 14. I just did it as training to begin with. And then eventually I thought that it could be fun to, you know, try it as an actual sport. And I tried racing and it kind of just clicked with me and I really enjoyed it.
Now it's competitive for you. Now when I go for a bike ride, I usually do 10 to 12 kilometers in an afternoon, but I'm pretty leisurely. How does my bike ride differ from what you do?
So it kind of depends on the day for us. During the week, it's a lot of intensity, and then the weekends are usually a longer ride. So during the week, anywhere between, you know, 40 to 80K, and then on the weekends, usually 100 to 130, 40.
And where do you like to ride in order to train?
Mainly on the highways. It's a lot safer than in the city, especially because it's a lot easier to get the miles in on the highway as well.
How many bugs would you say you've consumed mid-ride, and do you count protein per wing or per leg?
I've probably consumed quite a few bugs, probably in unhealthy amount, is it?
Marcus Capilli's my guest. All right, you're a cyclist. What sort of competitions will you face in the upcoming summer games? Like, what sort of distances are we talking about?
So the road race, it's around a 10K loop, and then we'll do that, I think, probably around 12 times. It'll be about 120 kilometers.
Wow.
The time trial, I believe, will be about 20 kilometers. So that one's solo, and it'll just be, like, all out. And then the criterium, probably be around 40 kilometers around downtown St. John's.
You've obviously been riding long enough to be committed to knowing that you can handle all of that because you've probably tested yourself at those distances. Am I correct?
Sure, yeah. Yes, you are. I hope my fitness is where it needs to be in order to, you know, compete and do well there. It's hard to say, yeah, I will do good, but the hope is that everything I've done in preparation has been enough, and then when we get there, everything falls in place.
What's your diet like? How do you fuel yourself as you train?
Just a lot of carbs. So on the bikes, like, I eat a lot of Rice Krispies when I'm training just because they're cheap and easy to make. A lot of carbs, granola bars and things like that, and gummies.
Will you stick some gummies, Rice Krispie bars, in your spandex when you compete?
No. So when we race, we use gels. So they're basically just like a gel that has a whole bunch of carbs in them. They're a lot easier to eat when you're at a really hard effort. You don't feel like puking when you eat them. So we try and get around 100 to 120 grams of carbs every hour.
So can you make a living out of this?
Yes, you can. There's different ranks through, but basically I'm working to get on a trade team, which is basically a step above the provincial team. And then from there, you can get scouted from European teams. And they're called UCI teams. And that's when you can start making some money once you sign like a pro contract.
Cool. Well, I hope that works out for you one day. I've got Marcus Capilli on the phone and representing us in just a matter of days at the Summer Games. What's the reaction like from your friends when they see you biking all the time? They want to go do something fun, but no, Marcus wants to go bike again.
Yeah, they're interested from it. I wouldn't say that they want to do it as well, but I definitely see quite a few people I know when I'm out and stuff, and get a lot of waves and that kind of thing. But a lot of my close friends do it with me, so it's fun to do it with them and that kind of thing.
Do you ever go out just for a leisurely cycle, or is that boring to you?
No, I haven't in a long time. I guess you could consider a recovery ride a leisurely cycle, but...
Are you dating anyone right now?
No, I'm not.
I bet if there was a good-looking girl that wanted to go slow, you'd slow it up, wouldn't you?
Yeah, probably.
Be honest, do you cycle for fitness, for the thrill of racing, or just to justify owning an $8,000 bike in a closet full of neon spandex?
You know, I guess you can consider it all three. I find it really fun, so I like to go out, but it's also really fun testing my body and seeing how far I can really push myself.
Well, I can't wait for you, man, to compete starting August 8th. All of Moose Jaw, and I think pretty much all of Saskatchewan, will be behind you at the Games, and I wish you nothing but success. And after that, back to speed skating, right?
Correct. So after that, I get home, and then a week later, I'm in Bethune for a week for training for skating again. So
you just dump out of school altogether?
Well, I take quite a few online classes, so
okay.
It's a little easier.
Good luck, my friend. Thanks for joining the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's got to be a nice feeling for the Riders to be in a bye week, sitting at the top of the West, 7-1, and knowing that they have sold out the Labor Day Classic, September long, officially sold out. And given them the next game, a week from Saturday is at 1 o'clock, that one too should be sold out in due time. Against the best in the East, the Hamilton Tiger Cats. Maybe another sellout is in the cards here. Two best quarterbacks, Trevor Harris, Bo Levi Mitchell. That's going to be a fun game. And on a Saturday afternoon, gives you a chance to drive into the city, maybe stay overnight. Should be a lot of fun as well. They're calling it Family Fun Day. The Riders promising lots of kids' activities, face painting, some princesses and superheroes will be roaming about. At halftime, the Rider cheer team performance with select kids. And after the game, you'll be allowed on the field too. And I understand there's going to be autographs, but it's a few thousand tickets left for that August 16th game. If you're on vacation right now and looking for something to do, my buddy Ryan Halotta over at the Saskatchewan Science Center and Kramer IMAX Theater is pretty stoked about the new exhibits they have in the Science Center. And of all the summer blockbusters they've had on that big screen, there has been one that drew the most attention, Ryan said.
It was F1, actually. We were busy right up till the very last late night screening, well over 100 people per show on average, really, really busy, which is great. It was such a fantastic movie and film for IMAX, and of course having it in IMAX with all those big stars, and just a really well done movie as well.
And for that reason, F1 will return to the IMAX this weekend for a limited run, another week run. It was filmed entirely with IMAX cameras, so it looks that much better and sounds that much better on the IMAX screen. That's the first movie, F1 with Brad Pitt too, that of all the summer movies has globally drawn more than $500 million. They think it's going to be hitting the $600 million mark this weekend. So big success, that movie, too. New streaming today on Netflix. If you're a fan of the first season, you should be aware of the second season premiere of Wednesday today.
This is the first time you've ever willingly returned to a school. How does it feel?
Like returning to the scene of the crime. I already know where the bodies are buried.
Wednesday, streaming on Netflix now, season 2 and episode 2 of South Park comes out today. And as well, Hulkamania was running rampant yesterday in the memory of the Hulkster.
And what you gonna do when Hulkamania and the largest arms in the world run wild on you?
You see, a lot of high-profile celebs were there to honor the Hulk, as there were Stephanie McMahon, Kid Rock, Vince McMahon, and Ric Flair all in the crowd. In fact, McMahon surprised everyone in attendance by taking the microphone, delivered a eulogy to his longtime friend, even channeling one of Hogan's trademark poses before doing so. And, of course, Hulk passed on July 24th. He was 71. Medical records showed he had a history of arterial fibrillation as well as a leukemia diagnosis. The official cause of death was ruled a heart attack. Talking to a few of my farming friends, some of which might be crop stressing a little. It's either been smoky, cool, wet, windy, or occasionally heating up, but then never consistently. And in this province, you need a good balance, right, in the weather to make the crops grow well. And it hasn't always been that way. There have been some pockets of Saskatchewan that have great conditions right now, others suffering. But as you heard here yesterday, those of you who are on vacation right now, I know yesterday was a little rainy, and it's not looking great for the next couple of days, but David Phillips from Environment Canada was on the show and said, don't throw in the weather towel just yet.
Our models and the American models are saying the same thing. We think that August is going to be warmer than normal, so forget this week, but it's going to come back. If you've left your holidays to August, don't fret. We haven't used up all your summer-like weather yet. So my sense is, don't write the final chapter on summery-like weather. We still have a lot of summer to come.
Yeah, So just hang in there. I do see showers through Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday it starts to turn around, and next week looks pretty decent, too. Nothing really strong to report on the whole tariff front. I know Premier Scott Moe is going to be talking about his views on the conversations or lack of conversation between Canada and the U.S. right now. Prime Minister Mark Carney was asked yesterday in Kelowna if he'd spoken to President Trump.
I haven't spoken to the president in recent days. We'll speak when it makes sense.
He did not say why they hadn't spoken lately. However, the U.S. ambassador to Canada, Pete Hoekstra, sat down with CTV, and he pretty much enlightened us a little more on what's not going on, if you want to say that. Talks haven't stalled. He just said, the president isn't looking at Canada as a priority right now.
It's going to take a while to work through it. There's a lot of issues that are still on the table. I think the next few weeks are going to kind of be slow, but the president's got some other priorities. They want to get a deal done with China. But, you know, as soon as there's, you know, offers on the table, ready to move forward, we'll want to get to a deal. Sure, Canada's a priority, but, I mean, there's a whole lot of countries that are priorities. But right now, I think the opportunity area right now is to do something potentially with China.
Yesterday, the Prime Minister did mention that he's open to removing some retaliatory tariffs if it benefits the Canadian economy, but he wasn't too specific in what he might remove. However, the ambassador was asked if he did, would we see movement in negotiations?
We really haven't seen any movement at all on the retaliatory steps, okay? Whether it's USMCA, whether it's the banning of products, whether it is Canadian government officials, you know, calling for Canadians not to travel to the United States, you know, some fairly nasty comments about our president. You know, again, those are the things that are under Canadians' control. What I'm glad is that I was in BC a week and a half ago, and I visited some of the tourist spots there, and I asked, hey, what's American tourism like? And they said, man, it's as good, if not better, than last year. It's like, great. That shows the strength and the friendship between America and Canada. Americans are not taking those retaliatory steps towards Canada. But again, if Canadians want to do that, that's their choice.
It certainly is. U.S. Ambassador to Canada, Pete Hoekstra there. And I guess he kind of expects Canadians to go on business as usual as the president takes jabs at us. But he thinks we should have thicker skin, clearly. But no real movement. And reaction from political leaders has been varied. As I mentioned before, Ontario Premier Doug Ford called for swift retaliation, while our Premier, Scott Moe, has been pushing for Canada to drop counter tariffs on the U.S. And perhaps he'll expand upon that when he joins Tamara Cherry, who's sitting in for the Evan Bray Show this morning. The Premier talks to Tamara at 8:30. Yeah, it's baseball season still here in Regina for the Regina Red Sox, who are preparing for the Medicine Hat Mavericks in the East Division semifinal. Medicine Hat finished second in the East, and the Sox are on the road in Medicine Hat tonight before coming back for game two of the best of three at Curry Field tomorrow evening. Joining me now from the Regina Red Sox is Gary Brotzel. And sizing up this matchup, buddy, the way the Sox may or may not be perceived, are they underdogs, or what do you think here?
I don't think so. I was just looking at the schedule over the past season here, and we actually split four wins each out of the eight games, and the home team won three of the four each time. So it looks like it's kind of shaping up to maybe a home field advantage situation. But we're heading into the playoffs. We've been playing really well, and I know the boys are very confident they can get in the victory tonight.
I'm happy you pointed that out because I was looking at that too, each club four games apiece. But the Hap won the last three at home. Momentum is everything. So how has this club adjusted to help stop that momentum from continuing tonight?
Yeah, we had a bit of a spell there where we weren't playing well. We had some pitchers leave to play professional baseball. We had to bring in a few additions and just took a bit of time for the new guys to gel and kind of fit in the roster. And I think we're at a point now where everybody that is here today believes in our roster, and they believe they can win this series.
Well, I hope you do too. And Gary, I got to ask you, how successful was the regular season as far as you're concerned at Curry Field this year?
That was really really good, Greg. As you know, June, the weather wasn't great in June. We had some just awful nights where the ballpark was virtually empty. But, you know, once again, our average attendance is up. We're starting to creep into that, you know, 1,000 a game average. And, no, really happy with the way July panned out. Crowds have been just fantastic. And everybody coming out certainly having a good time.
No one I have met that has been to a Red Sox game has not come away thinking that was a fun night at the park and great for family as far as entertainment value. You've always been kings about the value you get for a family of four and the food trucks and the food and the concession and all of that. But Gary, are we still talking about the possibility of a new ball diamond? Does that still roll in your head?
Yeah, that rolls in my head almost every night. It's the pillow.
Where are we on that? What are you thinking?
You know, it's probably not for me to say. As you know, we have a new ownership group that will be taken over October 1st, and I'm quite confident there's been some behind the doors meetings there. So with the city, and I think things will get rolling. I hope they will. You know, this is a glorious opportunity to have some private investment in the ballpark, and hopefully it gets done.
Okay, Gary Brotzel, my guest from the Regina Red Sox. Hey, I wanted to ask you, too, about the Saskatoon Berries, who finished their regular season with the best record the WCBL has ever seen. 46 wins, 9 losses. They host fourth place Moose Jaw in the best of three East Division semifinals starting tonight. And as president of your club, Gary, what can you learn from that success? Were you surprised by it at all? Or what do you take away from their success?
You know, I'm not surprised. You know, the model that we're headed to beginning next year is the model they're using. They have private ownership. You know, their ownership group's involved with the Blades and the Rush, and they obviously know what they're doing from a marketing standpoint, a social media standpoint. And, you know, that's where we want to head with the Red Sox next year.
Well, let's start with a victory tonight. I haven't looked at the Medicine Hat forecast. I'm a little concerned for you tomorrow, though. 60% chance of showers and thunderstorms. I'm sure you have an idea of what might happen if that game has to be postponed and move it around, but hopefully not.
Well, I'm just going to say, I mean, we will do everything in our power to play that game tomorrow. So hopefully your forecast is off a little bit, and those big clouds that roll in.
Gary, are you telling me I'm wrong with weather sometimes?
Yeah, you got to be wrong tomorrow, Greg. we need those clouds just to skirt a little bit north of Curry Field.
Okay.
Tomorrow.
All right. The Hat tonight, Curry tomorrow, best of three. Let's hope they can do her this run. I wish you well, buddy. Thanks for calling in the show this morning.
Oh, thanks for having me on.